The time is 7 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Barbara Yakubu. World leaders have welcomed the election of Pope Francis as the 265th leader of the Catholic Church. The National Health Insurance Authority has cleared all arrears owed service providers, paving the way for restoration of service to NHIS card holders. Peace building expert Emmanuel Bombandi has called for the strengthening of relevant state institutions to prevent unresolved conflicts. And the Communist Party has appointed Xi Jinping president of China. The Archbishop of Buenos Aires, Argentina, Cardinal Jorge Mario Bergoglio, has been elected as the new head of the Roman Catholic Church. The first Latin American to be Pope has chosen Francis as his papal name. Francis's election was announced to the world before hundreds of thousands of cheering crowd gathered under the rain at the St. Peter's Square in Rome. Cardinal Jean-Louis Touraine, the protodeacon, made the announcement with the Latin words, Habemus Papa, meaning, we have a Pope. Earlier, white smoke rose from the Sistine Chapel chimney, announcing to the world that a new Pope had been chosen. Cardinal Bergoglio, 76, replaces Pope Benedict Emeritus, who resigned last month on health grounds. The 115 cardinals have been in isolation since Tuesday afternoon and held four inconclusive votes. Appearing at the balcony of the St. Peter's Basilica, Pope Francis has expressed appreciation for his election and said he worked closely with all and asked for prayers to enable him to leave the church. Speaking to Radio Ghana shortly after the election of the Pope, the Metropolitan Catholic Archbishop of Accra, the Most Reverend Palma Bako, said the name Francis chosen by the Pope signifies the direction to which he wants to take the church. It's a Saint Francis too for humility, simplicity and love for the poor. He asked Ghanaians not to be disappointed that Cardinal Appiah Turkson was not elected.
Well, I was very excited when I saw it because I had just come back from Bato. I entered my room, I opened EWTN, and a few minutes later I saw the white smoke. So, you know, I felt very excited. I felt something in the pit of my stomach, thinking myself, who is the next person as our Pope, you know. So I've been waiting and finally the bells rang, and after about an hour, 20 minutes, we have been told we have a new Pope by name Francis, you know, so we thank God for that. Yep.
Talking about the name Francis, what could have informed the choice of that name? Does it have any significance?
Definitely, a Pope chooses a name, and by the choice of name, almost gives notice of what he intends to do as a personal agenda. You may call it that way, you know. What appeals to him in his responsibility as supreme, or what would appeal to him in his responsibility as supreme pontiff. And so to have chosen the name Francis, which links us up to Saint Francis of Assisi, a man who was known for humility, a man who was known for his simplicity, a man who was known for his love for the poor and the needy, a man who gave up all the wealth that his parents had in order to serve Christ and to become Christ-like. I think, you know, Pope Francis has taken upon himself a very big, task, you know, to emulate Saint Francis of Assisi, literally to become like Christ, you know.
From what we gather, he is the first Pope from the Americas and the first from outside Europe in over 1,000 years. What really could have worked in his favor?
What is important is that he was chosen by 115 brother cardinals, you understand?
Yeah.
And so I'd like to believe that they must have seen in him a man who could lead the church, who could confirm us in our faith, and who could give us, you know, the new, you know, leadership that we are requiring. So that is what I think must have informed his choice. Definitely the world has been rooting for a non-European to become Pope. So while we have a non-European, thank God.
There was high hopes among Ghanaians to see one of their own, that is Cardinal Turkson, to be elected. Should they be disappointed?
I don't want any Ghanaian to be disappointed. Believe it or not, I was sitting here on pantyhooks myself. If our cardinal had been chosen, I would have gone down on my knees and prayed immediately to God for him, because I know what responsibility it, you know, involves. And it would have been a bigger responsibility for us in Ghana as a Ghanaian church. We have the Pope, if we did have him, that we would have to support him even more and better than others have done. So I'd like to say that, yes, we love this new Pope, Francis, and we are going to give him our love and our support, and we are going to give him our obedience also, as should be given to anybody, notice of what he intends the Catholics in their faith to give leadership to the whole Christian world, you know, and give spiritual leadership to the whole world. I expect him to do that very strongly. Those are the three things. And then, of course, help proclaim, you know, the gospel, the message of Christ in the world. I think that is also very, very strong. Definitely about the teachings of the church, I expect him to uphold what the church has upheld in the last 2,000 years. He might do it in a different way, in a different language, but as for the truth, it is one, and the truth is Christ. And you cannot change Christ. You just have to accept Christ, or else you would have to change yourself.
That was the Most Reverend Charles Pamabaku, Metropolitan Catholic Archbishop of Accra. The election of Argentine Cardinal Jorge Mario Bergoglio took many around the world by surprise. Pope Francis was not among those who many had considered. We bring you reactions of some world leaders on his election.
The U.S. President Barack Obama described Pope Francis as a man who carries forth the message of love and compassion that has inspired the world for more than 2,000 years. His election, according to the U.S. President, speaks to the strength and vitality of a region that is increasingly shaping the world and looks forward to working with His Holiness to advance peace, security, and dignity for fellow human beings, regardless of their faith. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon is certain Pope Francis will continue to build on the legacy of his predecessor, Pope Benedict, in the promotion of interfaith dialogue, which is at the heart of the Alliance of Civilizations initiative, and looks forward to continuing cooperation between the United Nations and the Holy See, under the wise leadership of His Holiness Pope Francis. Argentina President Cristina Kirchner, on behalf of the Argentines, wished the new Pope a fruitful pastoral mission with such tremendous responsibility on his shoulders, seeking justice, equality, brotherhood, and peace among mankind. The Archbishop of San Salvador, Jose Luis Escobar, was happy the Lord had cast his eyes on Latin America and was extremely grateful to God for that. President of Southern African Catholic Bishop Conference, Archbishop Stephen Beslin, said choosing a Pope from Latin America delights and touches Catholics, most particularly those in developing countries.
Those are reactions of world leaders on the election of Pope Francis. Jorge Mario Bergoglio is the first Latin American Pope and the first Francis. He will be installed as Pope on Tuesday. We bring you a profile of the new Pope.
The new Pope emerges onto the balcony and looks down at that vast crowd, that sea of people beneath him.
The duty of the conclave was to give a bishop to Rome, and it seems that my brothers, cardinals, went to look for somebody from the other side of the world. I thank you for the welcome. The Diocese Community of Rome, thank you.
Jorge Mario Bergoglio, now Pope Francis I, was born on 17 December 1936 in Buenos Aires of Italian descent. He was ordained as a Jesuit in 1969 and a bishop from 1992. He became Archbishop of Buenos Aires in 1998, and at the 2005 conclave was seen as a contender for the papacy. Cardinal Bergoglio's sermons always had an impact in Argentina, and he often stressed social inclusion, indirectly criticizing governments that did not pay attention to those on the margins of society. He is described as a humble man. He shares the view that the church should have a missionary role that gets out to meet people and is very active. A church that does not so much regulate the faith, but promotes and facilitates it.
That was a profile of the new Pope. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The National Health Insurance Authority has started disbursing funds for the payment of arrears to service providers under the scheme. The authority has paid all properly submitted claims within the statutory periods for services rendered after the close of August, September, October and November last year. The Deputy Director of Corporate Affairs of the Authority, Dr. Ni Anan Ajiti, told Radio Ghana that normal service should be restored to all NHIS cardholders now that payments have been restored.
We have effected payments provided for the month of August, September, October and November. And so hopefully that will go a long way to alleviate the pressures they have come under. We have given directives to NHIS cardholders in places where services have been affected because of the delays in reimbursement to go to the nearest government facilities and other facilities that are in National Health Insurance subscribers. So information has also gone out already to all service providers tomorrow so that they know that the money has come and there's no reason and no need for anyone nice service or treatment. National Health Insurance subscribers, the crisis is over and believe that they would act accordingly.
That was the Deputy Director of Corporate Affairs of the NHIS, Dr. Ni Anan Ajeti. The Chairman of the Committee on Health in Parliament, Joseph Yilichue, says the difficulties encountered by the NHIA in paying service providers is attributable to the delay in releasing the National Health Insurance Levy by the Ministry of Finance. He said with the introduction of the new NHIA law, the constant delays in payment will be over. The Northern Regional Police Commander, DCOP George Trufo, has blamed politicians in the region for some of the conflicts there. In an interview with Radio Ghana, DCOP Trufo said politicians in the region were aware of impending conflicts but failed to do something meaningful to stop them from escalating. He added that resolving conflicts should not be left to the police alone. Meanwhile, the Executive Director of the West African Network for Peace Building, WANEP, Emmanuel Bombandi, says though some politicians may be directly involved in certain conflicts in the country, not all conflicts are backed by politicians. His comments follow assertions by Northern Regional Police Commander, DCOP George Trufo, that most conflicts in the region are generated by politicians. Mr. Bombandi believes the only way forward is to leverage institutional structures such as the district assemblies and the National Peace Council. He spoke to Doreen Ampofo.
If you put into context the first of all, you have to appreciate the frustration of the commander within the purview of trying to ensure that people who violate the laws are apprehended, and yet they belong to constituencies in which politicians, in trying to ensure the advancement of the interests of their constituencies, see their release. This should not be equated with the activity of the politician himself or herself that then can generate violence. And it's for that reason that when you look at how the two are interconnected, it simply tells you that we often are reacting to the eruption of violence without going much deeper to try and deal comprehensively with the issues that involves all the stakeholders, including the politician. But having made this observation, you cannot generalize. Yes, there are conflicts, or there have been conflicts in which the role of politicians directly contributed to the nature and character of the conflict and the eruption of the violence.
That was the Executive Director of WANEP, Emmanuel Bombandi. On the international front, leaders in Beijing have confirmed Xi Jinping as president, completing China's 10-yearly transition of power. Mr. Jing, appointed to the Communist Party's top post in November, replaces Hu Jintao, who is stepping down. About 3,000 MPs took part in the vote at the Great Hall of the People. Mr. Jing, who bowed to the delegates after his name was announced, made no formal remarks. He was selected by 2,952 votes to one, with three abstentions. He was spearheaded an austerity drive for his officialdom. Eugenia Jumo now presents editorials of today's papers. The Daily Graphic is of the view that strict enforcement of laws on sanitation and environmental protection are necessary in eradicating the country's sanitation problem. The paper believes that if the concept of sanitary inspection and sanctioning of defaulters worked in the past, its reintroduction now will equally be effective. It commends Zoom Lion Company Limited for its public education on good waste management and requesting for a change in the public's attitude towards waste disposal. And the Accra Daily Mail devotes its editorial to a reader's letter titled Mocking Democracy. According to the writer, Ghanaians only take pride in the country's democracy only when it's engaged in a football match. According to the writer, unity, stability, tolerance and social equity can only be achieved when parliament is allowed to function. And those were editorials of the papers presented by Eugenia Jomo. So in the news, the main point again. World leaders have welcomed the election of Pope Francis as the 266th leader of the Catholic Church. The National Health Insurance Authority has cleared all arrears owed service providers, paving the way for restoration of service to all NHIS card holders. And the Communist Party has appointed Xi Jinping as President of China. The news was broadcast from Radio Ghana, Accra.